Anyway, first, this is what I want you to react to this story. I found it a really intriguing, interesting story. A man whose own mother rang the Garda Síochána when she found €25,500 worth of cannabis stash, I imagine that was street value, in his bedroom, should be entirely grateful to her for shopping him in and stopping him on a slippery slope to destruction, according to the court. Defence Senior Counsel Tom Creed said the young man's mother made the kind of call that no mother would ever have to or would ever hope to make, but did so because at the time her teenage son's life was so out of control that she wondered if he would be dead or alive. Mr. Creed submitted at the sentencing hearing yesterday that in light of the extensive efforts made by the accused to turn his life around, could he avoid a mandatory 10-year jail sentence and instead get a fully suspended jail term? Judge Dara Hayes adjourned sentencing for 1 year to yesterday to see if the accused would take the opportunity to continue on his rehabilitation route. And in all circumstances, Judge Hayes has now imposed a fully suspended sentence of 3 years and 9 months. The judge said to the man, who is now 22, he was 19 at the time, "You should be eternally grateful to your mother for getting you off the slippery slope." And he noted from background reports that he was lucky to be arrested, that it gave him the opportunity to change his life. The guard in question, by the way, who was interviewed, said he was asked to come to the house, told to go into the bedroom and search the bedroom, where he found a rucksack with €25,500 worth of cannabis. Also on investigation, he found a weighing scales, a knife, a large and small bags, and a knife for cutting the cannabis. It seems that the kid was selling the drugs on Snapchat. Now, they also found €1,700 in cash, although the guard did say, "I didn't believe he was making much money. I believe it was just something he got caught up in." So, I want you to kind of leave that case aside for the moment, because it wouldn't be fair to talk about the individual case. But if this was you, and you went into your son or daughter's bedroom, or even your mother or father's bedroom, and you found €25,000 worth of cannabis, cocaine, whatever it happened to be, drugs, would you report them? Or would you have a silent word and say, "This has to stop"? What would you do in that situation? Would you ever snitch on your own? Because that's what people are going to say. Snitches get stitches. Would you ever go to the police about a member of your family breaking the law? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, 085-122-55. Don't forget, by the way, can we mention too, that if you go to a website, and if you sign up for a subscription plan, we randomly pick one person every day to win a Smug Mug. I don't have one here, but our listeners who are getting them are sending us in pictures. Have a look at this. This is Maureen. Look at Maureen with her Smug Mug. There's Angela with her Smug Mug. Looking very smug and happy. And that was Sarah. She got one too. She's not in the picture, but you can see she's watching the Niall Boylan show in the background with her lipstick all over the top of it and her cup of tea in her Smug Mug. If you want to get one of those Niall Boylan Smug Mugs, all you got to do is sign up on the website, www.nileboylan.com. And you never know, you could be the lucky one today to get a mug sent out to you. Now, getting back to the topic, would you tell on your own son or daughter? Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm here with my mug.
Yeah, so we got the picture, we put it up there. They all saw you in all your glory with your mug, Angela. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you to everybody, by the way, who supports us. But not in all your glory, obviously, no.
You deserve it. Yeah. You deserve it. You deserve it.
So, Angela, getting back to our drug-dealing son.
Yeah.
Would you tell the police?
Yeah.
You would?
I would.
Even though
Do you know why?
Blood is thicker than water and all that kind of stuff?
Blood is thicker than water, but you know what? If it was my son, I don't have kids. Let's start off with that. But I'm not going to have drug dealing bastards coming to my door. I had it with my ex and I would never go through it again.
Mm.
You know, and that's it. That's all you have to look at. You know, is sitting down, having a quiet word with someone doesn't work when it comes to drugs. It doesn't. Well, okay, we won't say it doesn't, but I can guarantee you what. A lot of the time, 85% of the time, they're not going to stop. So why not give them an absolute kick up the backside and go, "No, not in my house."
But here's the thing. For that type of drugs with intent to supply, that capacity of drugs, with intent to supply. The mandatory sentence is 10 years. He's extremely lucky that the judge gave him a year before he sentenced and brought him to court, gave him and said, look, come back in a year. If you haven't changed your life, I'm going to give you the mandatory sentence. But he didn't.
Yeah.
He gave him, he said, okay, you've gone to rehabilitation, you've changed your life, I'm going to give you a 3-year sentence and suspend it fully. So he didn't incarcerate him. He could have. He could have been put him in jail for 10 years.
Yeah.
Your own, but I'm just saying, like, you'd be happy enough for your own son to go to jail for 10 years.
But if you look at anything else, if he murdered someone, if he raped someone,
let's look at all those things differently. You know what I mean? We're talking about a rucksack full of cannabis. Now, if he comes home and tells you he raped a woman, different kettle of fish, we could have that topic another day, another conversation.
Yes, and not. You're still ruining someone's life.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. Do you know what I mean? If you're a drug dealer, you're ruining someone's life. You know? And that's what you have to look at. And the thing is, as I said, so you buy it off of someone, right? Let's put it this way. So you spend, I don't know how much it would be, 50 grand on that rucksack, right?
Yeah.
Of cannabis. Okay, let's even say 10 grand on that rucksack of cannabis. And that rucksack of cannabis is gone, right? Somebody takes it, or you don't get paid, or you don't get something. Who's going to arrive to your mother and your father's door?
Mm.
The people looking for money. So with you doing that, you're actually putting every single person's life at risk. Your mother, your father, your siblings.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Wait. Yeah, sorry. I just lost you there for a second. Go ahead. Sorry. Say it again. Your mother, your father.
Okay. No, you're okay. Your mother, your father, your siblings, your family, your girlfriend, your boyfriend.
But here's the thing.
You're putting all of their lives at risk.
Yeah, but here's the thing. By the mother reporting him, she's also going to put his life at risk because the 25,500 euros worth of cannabis didn't fall out of the sky. That came from a dealer. Above him. That dealer's not going to go away. That money has to be paid back.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So would it not be better to turn around to the son? I'm not saying this is what I would do, but would it not be better to say to the son, take that rucksack, give those drugs back to the man you got them from, or the woman you got them from, most likely a man. Give them back to the man you got them from, and we'll have nothing more to do with it.
Excuse me. That son or daughter go, okay, so mommy, okay, I'll go down now and I'll do it, yeah. And the following day, he arrives in with a bigger rucksack. If you are drug dealing, you're either feeding the habit or you're wanting the money. So it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. You're not just going to stop because mommy told you to.
Stay there just for a second. And Sandy, I'll come to you next, Sandy. Sorry, go ahead, Sandy.
No problem. Oh, hiya. Yeah, I just wanted to turn around and say that now I'm probably being hypocritical in what I'm actually going to tell you. But I, fair play to that mother. Fair play to her to go into the guard. Like for 25K, it's an awful lot to have.
Oh, he was dealing.
He was dealing. Like, what we're going to say to you, she was trying to protect him and protect herself as well, because she'd have the drug dealers coming to her house as well. You know, I said, well, if he doesn't pay it, somebody's going to have to pay it. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. When my son is 30. He's a little bit autistic, but it still doesn't make any second difference whatsoever. He was out one day during the week. His son told me to go into his room. So we get to his room and I found this little sachet of little white tablets. I didn't know what the fuck they were at the time.
Right. Okay.
So I looked up on the internet and they had the little shape of a star on it. And I said it was ecstasy coming up. I said, no, that couldn't be right. And the only one I messaged at the time was one of my sisters. And she said, yes, Sandra, that's definitely that. She said, you want to get them out of the house? So I said, no, I'll wait until he comes home. Excuse me. So he came home and I said, what the fuck are you doing with these tablets? Always mind them for a friend.
Oh, said, you know what? I've heard that excuse a million times, Sandy.
Yes, I know, I've heard it so many times. But I said to him, you see these tablets? I'm going to flush these down the toilet right now. Watch me doing it. And I said, if I... hold him down for comedy again. And I said, I will break the two knees from underneath your feet. I literally threatened him. And I said, it won't be me that'll be Dean Imagine. It'll be the fucking guard. And they can take you away. They can take you away.
And how many tablets was there, Sandy? How many was there?
I said there could have been 50. I'm only presuming.
No.
Because I did.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I did. I actually licked it. And I said, oh, geez, it's an awful powdery taste. And I knew by the taste of it. Yes,
yeah, word of advice, don't lick anything that you find in your child's bedroom, right? But,
no,
but
I know that,
Sandy, 50 quid or 50 tablets. So that's probably...
That's 50 tablets in a little fashion.
Yeah, I don't know how much... Yeah, I was going to say, I have no idea how much an ecstasy tablet is, but I'm assuming they're a tenner, maybe a 10 euro each. I don't know. Yeah, they're.
Wouldn't have a clue.
Okay, well, let's say they're 10 euros each. That's 500 quid's worth. He didn't own them. Obviously, somebody gave them to him to sell or something. He couldn't be. They couldn't be for personal use.
I don't know because he has very bad depression, but it's still no excuse.
No, of course
for
not.
What he did.
Yeah.
No.
So what was his reaction as he was watching them going down the jacks? What was his reaction?
His face dropped.
I'd say it did, all right.
His face dropped. And I said, if any of your so-called friends come to my door and I will have a crowbar at the door and I will bit their leg from underneath it. Because I said to my son, you have to remember, I said, I have friends who are guards. And I said, let them come near my door and I swear I will kill them and I will kill you at the same time. And I will say to the guards, take them away. And ever since that, he got the fright of his fucking life, and it never happened again. Because I'm all but cursing his bedroom, all but cursing.
And at any point, okay. So back to the original question, Andy. I'm sorry that happened. That was an awful situation. I'm glad it hasn't.
You're
happened
all right.
Again. Yeah. So at any point, would you have said to him, "Right, that's it. Get your coat on. We're going down to the Garda station."
I would have dragged him down by the head of hair.
But you didn't come down.
I didn't. You see, that's where I'm being hypocritical. You know, I won't deny it. But a single mother on her own does find it very fucking hard to bring up a child on her own. Yeah. I didn't say that. It, you know, with that kind of situation, if there was a man in the house, he would drag him down to the Garda station. Mm. Or even if I couldn't drag him, I would have brought the guard down and said, here, take him away. I wouldn't give a damn who was looking at me. I'd say, no, that's what drugs does to you. Yeah.
But if you thought, and the judge said to him, you know, for this type of, you know, for the amount of cannabis you have here, well, sir, with intent to supply, right, that you can get a mandatory sentence of 10 years. So if you thought your son was going to go to jail for 10 years if you brought him to the guards for the 50 tablets he had or whatever it was he had, would you have even considered bringing him to the guards?
I'd probably say I wouldn't. It would break my heart, but...
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? It would break my heart if he'd been going away for 10 years, but it's a lesson that he'd, you know, something that he'd never do again.
Hang on, Sandy. Angela, there you go. I think that's a reasonable response. She flushed it all down the jacks. That taught him a lesson.
Absolutely. And fair dues to her. And I'm delighted that he, do you know what I mean? That he stopped it then. And you're a brilliant mother.
Mm.
Your single mother bringing him up, and do you know what is nice to hear, especially around these days now, it is nice to hear that he's actually listening to you. Do you understand me? That he's not, you know, you get kids now who nearly, and Jesus, I'd hate it to happen, who would turn around and give their mother a slap for something like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't think he'd slap Sandra. I'd say Sandra knocked the head off if he slapped her.
No, but Sandra, honestly, you've done a great job with him. And it is one of the toughest decisions. Now, as far as I know, it's 13,500. Anything over 13,500 is for sale or supply.
Well, why 13,500? That's a very specific number, by the way, Angela. You've just plucked out of the sky there.
I know a friend of mine who, long story short, he was asked to wire up a house. And when he got there, he knew it was a hash house. This was back when the days, you know, when the boom went bang. And he did it. And they asked him 3 weeks later to go and fix the house. some of the lights. And when he went in, he was the one caught inside there by the guards.
Right. So their argument is over 13,500. I know people who have been caught with less than that, and they've been charged with intent to supply. It, unless you can prove it's for personal use, it's considered for intent to supply. But maybe you're right, Angela. I don't know. Either way, anyway, 25,000 is an awful lot, and 50 tablets, ecstasy tablets, is an awful lot. They weren't for personal use.
I know.
Unless I know, Sandy Summers off his head all the time.
But, Niall, the thing was, it was 33,500 they were saying was street value in it. And anything over 13,500, that's how I know.
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there, Sandy. Stay there, Angela. Let me go to John Maureen. I'll be with you in a second. John, hi. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm blown away by some of the comments. The gung-ho comments I will say today. First of all, flushing drugs down the toilet, I wouldn't be advising that because, obviously, those drugs have came from somewhere, some dealer. And if he comes knocking at the door looking for the stuff that's after being flushed down the toilet, if he can't get his drugs, he'd be looking for payment. And if he can't get payment, he'd be taking it out probably in the son or the daughter of the house who will end up in the wheelchair or worse inside the river with their face down big. Right? Now, so this idea, you put the question there today, the flush down the drugs down the toilet. If she thought that he was going to get 10 years, would she 100% then, knowing that he was going to get 10 years, still shop him or bring him to the Garda station? I don't think so somehow. I don't believe in ratting out your own family. No, unless they murder someone, like Angela has said there, if that's different, right? Obviously, you take someone's life. But also the comment was made by Angela there that he's destroying people's lives with those drugs. No, Sally. They are destroying their own lives with the drugs. It doesn't matter who's supplying or who's the dealer or the kingpin or the little minion shit that's selling them on the street, right? I take a tablet and I know that it's an illegal tablet. That's on me. And if something happens to me, well, tough shit.
Well, John, that's not always the case, because if there was no dealers, there'd be no drugs.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be able to take your tablets or whatever it is. So the dealer has to take some responsibility for destroying lives.
Well, look, if there was no demand, there'd be no supply, so therefore there'd be no dealers.
There was no supply, there'd be no demand.
I'll tell you why I can't stand people. Why people actually destroy their lives or take something that they don't know what the compound makeup is. Very recently here on Cork City, where a mother had to look at her three children, the youngest of seven, leaving the hospice, right? Knowing she'd never see them again because she died 4 days later.
Oh, gosh.
And then you have people popping the drugs that they don't know what's in them into their system. Then, sorry, no sympathy here. I know where my sympathy lies.
By the way, can I just as a point of interest in what Angela said, the new Section 15A creates a new offence related to possession of drugs with a value of over 12,700, quite an odd amount of money, or more for the purposes of sale or supply. A person found guilty of such an offence may be imprisoned for up to life and subject to an unlimited fine.
Yeah, but you just put it to that caller there.
Up to life!
You put it to that caller there, Niall, there, no, that if she knew that he was definitely going to get a mandatory 10-year sentence, would she have shot him? She would not. And no parent
would. Yes, I would. No, hold on there now. I'm sorry to interrupt you now.
Sally, do you realise what you're saying? Like 10 years, that's 10 years you're not going to see your son for 10 years. Do you realise that? That's 10 years gone over his life. That's 10 years that you will never see him for.
And it'll be the best thing that I ever did for him. I do not want drugs inside my house. No fucking way. And it would be the best thing for him to let him do that 10 years. And he would come home and he would say, Mammy, you were right.
No, sorry, I'm on the phone, Sally.
It was the best thing that you ever did, was sending me off to get me the treatment and me to be punished for what I did. Now, I'm sorry, you are completely wrong.
If you're going to take a decision that's going to, you won't see your son for 10 years, right? And you think for one minute when he comes out after that 10 years that he's going to forgive you for that? 10 years of his life gone?
He will.
I'm sorry, that's not going to happen.
After
10 years.
Okay, hang on, Angela, you want to say something to John there? Hang on, Angela. Sorry, Angela, go ahead.
You see, there again, John is kind of, being a bit of a hypocrite because he's saying that, whoever takes the drugs, right, is it's up to them, right? They're the ones that make this their own fault. Whoever sells the drugs, it's up to them. They're the ones. So if he's selling 20, if he has 25K worth of weed in his bag, I can guarantee you in a year's time, he'll have over 100K of heroin, of cocaine, of all of that. It gets bigger and bigger. The money's coming in more and more.
John, she's got a really good point. According to the evidence given by the guard, you know, he was seemingly selling it on Snapchat, right? To other kids his age, probably 19-year-olds, right? So, you know, and he had 1,700 quid in cash. The guards didn't believe he was made a substantial amount of money yet, but he was only young and starting out in this, and he was mixed up with the wrong people. But as Angela rightly said, he gets a taste of the money. I'd like a nice car. I'd like another North Face jacket, whatever it is that he wants to get. And the dealer says, listen, this cannabis is baby stuff. You know, I could make you more money out of cocaine. And he goes, okay, give it to me. They're not going to stop. But Sandy was right to flush it down the jacks as well. They're not going to stop.
She took a huge gap. There could have been huge repercussions on her son over that. Like, he could be now in a wheelchair.
No, and I do understand the dangers of that. I did say that to Sandy as well. But do me a favour, Angela, Sandy and John, stay there. I'm going to come to Maureen straight after the short break.
Niall Boylan has been told to shut up from the time he was in school. And all through his life, they just keep telling him to shut up. But not anymore. Because now he has his own live podcast, the Niall Boylan Podcast.
All right, let me go to Maureen. Hang on there, lads and ladies. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
I'm good, Maureen. What do you want to say?
I would do the same.
What would you do? You'd snitch on him?
I would. Oh, yeah. I tell you now, I wasn't going to say it, but look, we all have skeletons somewhere in our closets. But I had it, I suppose, probably the late 2000s with my own daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And was just drink it first. But I began to notice that some nights she'd come in and her eyes, and then when she'd drink in her, she turned into a completely different person altogether. I was just upsetting the house and everything. But I noticed her one night and her eyes were glazed over. And I'm saying to myself, this isn't alcohol. This is something mixed with alcohol. So that happened a few times. And I actually had to call the guards on her three times. And the third time, I had to call them because she'd pulled a knife.
Wow. That's horrendous. Go ahead.
And the night before, she was due up in court on the following morning. So the night before I did, I sat down and I wrote a letter to the judge and I handed it in privately in the morning. And I explained, like, she was a good girl. I mean, she's fine now. Well, you know, she's got her children and she's doing okay. But she listened to the complaints and what the guards had to say and, you know, how many times like they had to be called to the house and that with her. And he said, only for your mother, he said, you will be going to prison today. And I'll tell you something, Niall. She didn't get into trouble again after that. She went and got some treatment and help.
But you didn't mind the fact that she could have gone to jail?
No, I didn't, because I wasn't pretty up with it.
That's a hard call for any parent, you know, just to know that your child has made a huge mistake in life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's a decision they make.
But they're going to go to jail. Yeah, but pulling a knife is the last straw.
Well, no, absolutely. That way, well, they're a danger to themselves and a danger to you as well. Okay, but if the knife wasn't involved, would you have gone to the guards?
Oh yeah, because I had called them before when she was just being awkward and kind of obstreperous in the house and just causing arguments and. She was in that kind of vicious mood that you wouldn't know what she's going to do. So I had no choice but to call him.
Well, in that case, it's a psychological issue, obviously, and that's completely understandable why you would do that, because, again, as I said, they're a danger to you and a danger to themselves, too, apart from anything else. Yeah. But going back to what Sandy did, now, Sandy did say, I don't know whether Sandy would actually go to the guards, because she didn't. And I know she said herself she's a bit of a hypocrite because she didn't go to the guards. But what she did do was she flushed the drugs down the toilet in front of the lad. to teach him a lesson. And he hasn't done it since. Now, other people are texting in saying that's a dangerous thing to do as well, because the drug dealer could come looking for them back again and you haven't got them and you'll end up having to pay for the bloody things. So that's always a risk as well. By the way, Sandy, did you ever find out where you got the tablets?
Never. And I never heard a word since. This is maybe 5-10 years ago. I never heard a word since. No.
Well, you see, if that had been, my son or daughter that I'd found that stash in my home, they would have been mashed up to the guards, stashing off, and say, there you go.
Sandra, go on.
Go ahead, Ashley.
I was just going to ask you, are you a single mother like myself, or with your partner, or what? You know, the reason why I'm asking is because with the man in the house, it could have helped a little bit more.
People say that. Yeah, and by the way, there's some great single mothers out there who would do a wonderful job raising children. But you are right. It is a struggle if you're a single parent, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a male role model in the house can make a big difference too. But do me a favour, both of you. Stay there for a second. Let me go to, Mr. Hogan, I believe. Hi, Mr. Hogan. How are you?
Hello there.
Hello. By the way, people can have whatever name they want when they come on the air, but Mr. Hogan sounds good to me. Mr. Hogan, what would you do in that situation?
Well, I think the mother was right. Definitely to get the guards involved and to, you know, catch the son as early as she could in this criminal career, let's say.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
The responsibility for raising good law-abiding kids is on the parent. And I mean, I don't want to blame the mother, right? Because I know she's probably doing her best. Something has gone wrong. Maybe she was hanging around with a bad crowd. Maybe, I don't know, and the previous caller brought up that the father doesn't seem to be involved.
Yeah.
I mean, we know from statistics, and it's hugely important. I'm a very active father. I know that I think something like 70% of all those in prison come from fatherless homes. Or I don't know the exact
statistic. I don't know if that's an Irish statistic, but that's certainly an American statistic.
No, that might be American now, but I would imagine the same psychological factors affect people. And
they come from single parent families and broken homes. Yes,
I'm not going to quantify it. Yeah,
yeah.
But she did the right thing in terms of stepping in and saying, "Look, you know, I have tried. I've warned you. Given out. I assume she did some parenting. She said, "Look, if this is the path you're leading, best thing that can happen to you now is that you're arrested." Mm. Now, I understand she flushed the drugs down the toilet, which is
Sandy did that. Sandy.
Again, if they were turned over to the Gardaí, that's probably the best thing you can do, properly incinerated and the rest. And again, you'll need to... What this fella needs to learn is that he should turn over whoever was supplying us and go up the chain as far as he can and arrest those lads. And that'll give him the best protection. That's the only option he has right now.
Well, hang on a second. Sandy, did you ever ask him where he got the drugs?
Oh, I did.
Say that again.
A friend, basically. He never told me who it was. Never told me. Like, he's not going to.
Yeah, if he's staring down a jail sentence of 15 years or whatever, he might very soon decide that telling the truth is the best option here. And he can say, look, it's either this guy gets arrested or you do. That's the best and only option.
Oh, I do totally agree, and I do agree on your...
Morgan, can you turn off the... Well, hang on for a second, Sandy. It's just, Morgan, you have something on in the background there, and I can hear it playing back to it. So if you... I know you're on speakerphone or something. I don't know. Sorry, go ahead, Sandy. Continue, Sandy.
I'll take it off now. It get better now?
Yeah, that might be better. One of you has it on. I couldn't figure out which one it was, but go on.
Oh, it's not me, no, because I had the phone on loudspeaker. No, but it's true what you said, that the majority of families do have, are a one-parent family, and I do totally agree with you there, because I'm a single parent, and it is a higher case of children, you know, being from a family with one parent, that, you know, with...
Could end up in trouble. Yes.
Of drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally agree with him. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Hogan, getting back to you again. If it was your child, I don't know whether you have children or not, or maybe you said a bit younger.
I do.
Oh, you do. Okay. And you walked into the bedroom and found 25 grand worth of gear. What would you do?
Yeah, I would. I would bring. Well, I have daughters now, so I'd be very surprised. But I'd bring the responsible child and the drugs to the local Garda station explain the situation as best I could and say, look, this is what has to happen, because clearly we have messed up massively. We have raised a person to, you know, an adult years. I think the boy was 19, is that right?
19, yeah.
19, yeah. So you've raised someone to 19 years who has a moral compass that allows that. So clearly there's been a slip up. And again, it might be just a bad crowd that he's hanging out with. It might be something else you missed. But you have to take firm, strong and immediate action when you realise what's going on.
Knowing that your son or your daughter could end up in jail for 10 years because that's the mandatory sentence, knowing that, you would still do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you go to the judge and you explain, you plead guilty and you try to say, like, look, it's a young kid, messed up, they'll be lenient. If it was later that he was caught with a bigger shipment the next time, he could be in jail for years, for 40
when,
years.
When you say the judge will be lenient, this judge in Cork was quite exceptional in the fact that he deferred sentencing for 1 year to see if the child would turn his life around and change, which the child did. The 19-year-old is now 22, did, and then gave him a 3-year suspended sentence. But the judge said he could have given him 10 years mandatory sentence.
I think judges are human. And judges would see a concerned parent who's brought their kid in, who said, look, he's mixing with the wrong crowd. I'm trying to fix this situation. And right now it's got so serious that it needs law enforcement to show him how this could work out. Because, again, you're turning your kid away from the career path that leads into this. The next shipment, the next drug run, the next, you know.
Oh, yeah, it'll be cocaine the next time and heroin the next time.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
And then it could be, you know, they say, hey, that lad hasn't paid up. Go around here and shoot him in the kneecaps. That'll cover your death or whatever. You know, so.
Yeah, but I mean, have we thought about that as well? The 25 grand worth of drugs that you're bringing to the guards with your son, some dealer owns that.
Yeah. And look, the only thing to do is to fess up, to tell the guardie, this is the lad who gave it to me. This is all the information that I know about his network. And hope that, again, the guardie can push off the penalties, the jail term, onto the suppliers. Again, these lads are probably 30, 40-year-olds.
I'm with you all the way. But the only concern I have is you're going to the guards with a bag of weed, your son, and the name of the dealer that gave it to him, and, you know, and given all this information. You're not only getting a risk of your son going to jail for 10 years, there's also a risk that these dealers are very pissed off with you and your son.
And you have to weigh that against the other risk. The other risk is your son stays in this enterprise and the same thing works out. He gets someone else steals the drugs off him and they come around and they, you know, break his kneecaps anyway.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed. Let me just go to Aisling. Aisling, hi, how are you?
Not too bad.
Aisling, what would you do in that situation?
Well, I love my son to death, so I definitely wouldn't go to the guards. If I found it and he wasn't in the house, I'd give him a ring, get him home, ask him where they came from and all, and I'd get him to do a deal to send it back
to
wherever he got it from.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the dealer. But you see, now he never would, but now you can never say never. But if that happens now, there's extra to go with that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He probably owes money. You know, that's why he's taking the drugs and all. So that bit of it would have to be sorted. So I'd actually send him down to my dad in the middle of nowhere. And whatever has to be paid has to be paid. You know, there's extra money there floating around. But I definitely wouldn't. Now, if he committed murder, I would. Or human trafficking or prostitution, I would. But definitely not drugs. No way. I'd tell him to get it sorted or I'd sort it.
You heard what Sandy did. She flushed, her son had 50 ecstasy tablets that she found, and she flushed them down the toilet in front of him.
Ah, well, that's only a little bit. When you're talking 25,000 or something, it's a different story altogether. And that fella that you had on there going, sure, kneecaps and all this, he's not living in that life. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
I mean, be coming in, breaking your windows, they'd be killing you, you'd be shot. Your whole family, if you mention the guards are at, you know, you'd have to move out. Yeah. But I'll give you a story, Niall. There was a van with like hundreds of thousands of stuff caught on the Nice Road there a couple of years ago. I heard it on the radio and all, you know, and the guards had their eye on them and all, and there was a lead car and all, you know, so they were all done. And anyway, it was a cousin of mine. Now, it's not blood, you know, it's true, yeah. A stepdad. But all our family, nobody has convictions, nobody has trouble with the police. But this little fucker decided to get involved big time. Now, his father, my father would be the patriarch. So all of us, your mum was looking at 90s. And his father was going to remortgage the house so he'd get solicitors and all, you know?
Yeah.
Probably to get him, you know, the best solicitor that would get him off or two or 3 years. But then anyway, the meetings were held or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Two or three meetings.
Yeah.
And my father says, no fucking way, let him run.
Let him go.
No way, you're getting a mortgage.
So your phone is breaking up a little bit there, Ashley. Wherever you are, your phone is breaking up just a bit. But, so, but basically, he let him out. So what sentence did he get?
Nine years. 9 to 10.
Right, yeah. They can give him 10 years.
And when he came out, he's still a bio, you know what I mean? But I don't know what DNA he got, you know, because both sides of the families are clean. And
you did say he's not blood related anyway, so... gladly. Anyway, stay there a second, Aisling, and Steve, I'll be with you in a second as well. I want to go to Morgan. There's a coincidence. Morgan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Bo. Hi, Niall, how are you? Nice. Thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you again, Morgan. Morgan, I mean, this story stems from a story that was in the paper in the Evening Echo in Cork about a mother who shopped her own son in when she found €25,000 worth of weed in his bedroom. And the judge said the young man, he was 19 at the time, was very lucky. He could have put him in jail for 10 years, but he didn't. He gave him a 3-year suspended sentence and said, thank your mother. So,
okay, well, that's a rare occurrence of a fair judge. Myself, I've 6 children. One of them is 15. If I found 25 grand's worth of weed in her bedroom, that the last thing I would do is report it to the guards. It just makes a bad situation 1,000 times worse. It would be an absolute nightmare, and I couldn't ever envisage a time where I would do that. I couldn't do it because it would no good would come of it. Mm. I think the simplest way around these kind of things happening is going to have to be the legalization of these drugs. It's a very simple solution.
Legalization of the drugs?
Yes, particularly weed.
Why? Because we're doing it anyway and people are selling it, so we might as well legalize it. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, yeah, we did, you know, the argument against prohibition, the same for alcohol.
Yeah, the prohibition argument is a nonsense argument. That argument people give, oh, prohibition doesn't work. Prohibition does work. We've many examples. We've examples all over the world and in every single country and in every single state and in every single home where prohibition does work. It doesn't work perfectly, but it does work.
But it didn't.
I'll give you a brief example under the definition of prohibition. We're prohibited from travelling over 80 miles an hour on a motorway. Most people don't because they feel they're going to get a fine or they get caught. So most people stay under the speed limit. Some people go over it and they get caught and get a fine every now and again. You're prohibited from drinking and driving. Most people don't drink and drive. Some people do, and they get caught.
Okay,
so we're prohibited from doing things all the time. And some people will always take a chance.
We're talking about drugs in particular, and the larger societal effects of drugs. So we have the example of prohibition in the States with alcohol, where a massive criminal underworld sprung up.
Cannot use that as an example. It was a ridiculous prohibition because you had something that was already legal and you decided to make it illegal. That was a different kettle of fish.
Weed wasn't always illegal in Ireland either. In the 70s, there was no laws that prohibited weed.
That's it. That's completely incorrect because I lived in the 70s and I know it was incorrect because I know people all around me were smoking weed and hash and they used to have to go and get it in dodgy laneways and everything else. It wasn't legal.
Well, they might have to go. It wasn't drugs legal, but it wasn't.
Cannabis was never legal. No, cannabis wasn't legal in the 70s in Ireland.
Well, I think it was. I think you're wrong.
But the point is, we already have problems in society with alcohol and drugs. Why would you want to legalize it and make things worse? Anyway, that's a whole other argument, I think.
Yeah, but the problems we have with weed at the moment, there's a whole criminal enterprise around it. People use it anyway. It's not going away. It puts money into the hands of dangerous criminals.
And you will still have dangerous criminals, even if you legalize it or decriminalize it. You will still have dangerous criminals importing it cheaper. Yeah.
Well, no, we have examples in Canada because the price of weed in Ireland, like that, the example of the €25,000 worth of weed, is probably, by Garda estimates, it's probably something like 4 or 5 ounces of weed. Like, to grow that commercially would cost pennies. Like, in Canada, the same amount of weed that's valued at 25,000 euros over here will be valued at 1,000 Canadian dollars.
So do you see anything wrong with your son having 25,000 euros worth of weed? Would you say, well done, son, we should be getting more than selling it, making a fortune between the two of us?
No, what I would see wrong with that is that he's obviously involved in a criminal enterprise.
Well, you wouldn't see that he's breaking the law. That part doesn't enter into it.
I think that law is ridiculous. I think it's a stupid law. Just because it is a law shouldn't mean that it's followed.
Okay, well, Morgan, just do me a favour. Just stay there for a second, because I just got to go to a quick 7-second break.
Niall Boylan has been told to shut up from the time he was in school. And all through his life, they just keep telling him to shut up. But not anymore. Because now he has his own live podcast, the Niall Boylan Podcast.
All right, I got to go to Jason. Jason, Morgan, stay with me. Jason, hi. You've been listening to Morgan there. He doesn't. The criminal aspect is now the concern. It's who he's getting it from and who he's mixed up with.
Oh, God, yeah. No, you can't just hand this stuff back to these people. You can't just knock it down and say, here, my son's not allowed to play with you anymore. Take back your 25 grams of the drugs. Doesn't work like that. He got himself into a hole. He better dig himself out.
Mm. What would you do?
I'd leave him.
You'd what?
Sort yourself, son.
What, you'd like, you chuck him out of the house?
No, I wouldn't chuck him out of the house. Well, what good is that going to do? Well, he's going to be there to somebody else's problem. Going to be roaming the street. His mother's going to be up all night worrying about it. No, I tell you, go and sort it out. Get rid of it. Do what you have to do. Go back to them. Tell them to come near this house. I'll put you in the ground and then I'll be going after them fuckers. But I wouldn't be down running to the guards on any of that. That's just making things worse. I'm hoping I've educated me kids enough that they actually haven't brought any of that to the door. So maybe it's down to the parenting.
Well, Morgan is saying it shouldn't be a problem at all because it shouldn't be illegal in the first place.
I've me issues on the cannabis. I believe in that as well. I don't believe weed should be illegal in this country. Jesus Christ, you could stick a seed in a pot, stick it on your windowsill, and it'll grow in your window once the sun hits the soil.
You could say the same about magic mushrooms as well, but that's pure psilocybin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's different. The magic mushrooms are different.
I'm just saying you can grow them too from a seed.
I'm not going to debate weed with you. I've been smoking weed on me whole entire life, and it's absolutely no fucking damage to me. So, as for that, no, I'm hoping I've educated him enough that he'd stay clear away from that. I never got involved in any of that shit, and I was brought up in some pretty bad neighbourhoods, and I lived in some pretty bad neighbourhoods. I think it's how you're brought up.
This young fella in Cork was clearly selling it because he had a weighing scales and bags and everything.
Of course, he was selling it. You don't have that amount of weed for personal consumption. No, come on. No, you wouldn't. You know, no way. If you had an ounce of fuck, I'd say, well, it probably was for personal consumption. I'd go through that in a week and a half. But, you know, no, I wouldn't be running to the police with him. You'd only make a thing.
So I want to just go back to Morgan. So, Morgan, what would you say to your son? So I want to just envisage or put yourself in that situation that you walked into the room, you're making his bed or you're tidying his room while he's out at, you know, college or whatever it is. He's 19. And you find a rucksack and you're just curiosity gets the better. You look at it and there's bags of weed, the weighing scales, a knife. What would you do?
The first thing is I would probably take a little bit and smoke myself. I do smoke it occasionally. Sorry, I'm kidding.
Would you pay him for the bargain?
No, I take his pocket money away from him. It would be shock first, right? Because it would come as an absolute shock to me, as any parent does. We all think we're, you know, wonderful parents, and you know we have this, you know, godlike influence over our children, and nothing terrible can ever come to them. So it's going to be an initial shock. Then it's going to be a conversation of, you know, what is this? You know, where did it come from? What are you doing? Like, and then from there, like I wouldn't call the guards. And the only time I would probably call the guards is in the case of protection. If I think, okay, he tells me, okay, well, I got them off this particular guy. You can't throw it away, Dad, because they're going to kill me or whatever if I don't do it. So my initial reaction would be, okay, well then, listen, we don't want to bring more fucking harm on this situation. So let's get the stuff back to the dealer. And again, I'm not that involved in that world, so I don't even know if that's a real
option. I'm not really that much invested in business of dealers, but I don't think they do sale or return.
There's no receipts with this stuff. No. Best before they...
it's not like buying bread from Brennan's, you know, a shop buying bread from Brennan's. There's no sale or return.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, he has this for a reason, and he has not paid for this up front unless he has a big slush fund.
No.
So he is in debt to that dealer. And every week he goes by and he does not have that dealer's money, guess what? Interest, and it's a lot higher than the banks.
I think he's in a world of trouble. But Morgan, what I'm trying to get to grips with here is, would you give out to him?
It would be a massive disappointment. I don't want any of my children involved in criminal enterprise. You know, I don't want them associating with the wrong types of people getting into that lifestyle.
Sorry, Morgan. I take it and being a politician is out as well, is it?
Well, you know, I'd be more upset if he went to work for Pfizer rather than the local.
Oh, right, okay.
I think there's more harm there.
Yeah.
But that's a entirely different situation. But I would be at a loss.
It could be worse. He could go and work with the Green Party. Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
So, Morgan, stay there, Jason, stay there. Let me just go to Steve if I can. Steve, hi, how are you?
Would solve a lot of that. Sorry.
After last night, I cannot believe
it. It's you, Steve. Okay. I said that's a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to come on here now and defend Morgan. This is ridiculous. If you juxtapose last night and now, it's just completely different. So look,
it just takes time to like me, that's all, Steve.
I'm a pothead, so, you know, I smoke weed regularly. Look, your first callers that came on, I'm really, really disappointed in their attitude for them to say that they would drag them down to the Garda station. Do they understand the danger that they would be putting them in? Firstly, flushing drugs down the toilet, as everybody has said, is a dangerous situation because the dealers will come looking for that money. It's not like they're just going to write the bill off and say, you're grand, give it to us next time. That's not going to happen. They will want their money. So what that woman done was totally irresponsible and putting her child in danger. Now, as far as bringing to the guard station, if your child did go to prison for 10 years, 1 in 7 prisoners come out of prison addicted to drugs that were not on drugs before. Now, if he had gone into prison smoking weed, he could have came out on heroin. And again, the chap's life would have been destroyed over the mother's stupid decision to report her flesh and blood to the guards for a crime that's not really all that big. I understand.
What do you mean it's not all that big? There's 25 grand's worth of drugs in his bedroom.
Okay.
Don't say it's not all that big.
Niall, it's not a dangerous drug, firstly. People can't
hang on for a second. Don't make a stupid comment, okay? All drugs are dangerous if they're not used properly. And weed, just like every other drug, can cause paranoia, depression, hysteria, all different. And there's evidence of this. Don't say there isn't. There's evidence of all of this.
I never said there wasn't.
Okay, so don't say it's not dangerous. Man.
Okay, to the wrong people. So, absolutely. But and as one of your callers actually said earlier on as well, you know, if it's really up to the person who's buying the drugs. If I go out and buy an ecstasy pill and I have a bad trip on it, that's my fault. I shouldn't have taken the ecstasy pill. I'm not promoting that people go out and take drugs left, right and centre. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is the people who sell weed are being punished so severely, and the woman...
Because it's an illegal drug.
To the guards. Okay, it's an illegal drug, Niall. It's also illegal to go 2 miles an hour over the speed limit. But I guarantee you've done that. I've actually heard you on air before saying you've...
And I have got caught, and I've got penalty points in the past for it. Yeah.
Okay, penalty points. You didn't get 10 years in prison.
There's a difference. It's under the Road Traffic Act. It doesn't come under a criminal act. It's not a criminal act.
With the chance of coming out of prison a junkie... with the chance of having your legs broken or your head blown off. What type of parents are they? If you
hang on. I'm going to come back to Angela in a second because Steve, Morgan and Angela, please stay with me, guys. You need to go to Carla. She's waiting ages. Stay there, please, Steve and Morgan and Angela. Carla, hi, how are you?
Hi there. And a very, very interesting to hear everyone's views on this. I have zero tolerance for any drugs, and if it were my kid, I'd be marching them to the guards. Like some people are saying, you know, well, that's 10 years of your child's life, you know, ruined in prison, this, that, and the other. Would you rather them 10 years in a prison cell or for the rest of their lives 6 feet under because they got deeper and deeper into the drug world.
Because there's more than one way to skin a cat, Carla.
Oh my God.
Would you rather they were behind bars for 10 years or you lost them forever because they got further into the mess?
What I would do personally, if I found out that my son was dealing drugs, firstly, I'd break his bleeding legs. Secondly, I would get the drugs, bring them back to the drug dealer, and I would take the responsibility of giving the drugs because he's my child. I obviously done messed up somewhere along the line for him to be doing that. I would bring the drugs back to the drug dealer. There's no way I would take the other alternative of bringing the child to the guards. Why would you not go? There's other ways to skin a cat. There really is. You can deal with this problem yourself without having to ruin your child's life, because that's what will happen. It's not like they're going to come out happy people and go, oh, thanks for
your
help.
But then your child will know for the rest of his life, if I get into trouble, your dad will sort it all out for me.
Absolutely. And I will always be there for them, Niall. Always.
But that's enabling.
Hang on. Sorry, Morgan, what are you trying to say?
It's a bit of a false dichotomy to say, like, you know, either your child is dead or they go to prison. Prison is brutal. It's a brutal existence. So that child goes into prison and they're introduced to other, you know, hardened criminals. The amount of men in prison who get raped, murdered, beaten. The other callers have said they'll be introduced to numerous other different drugs. And then when they get out, what's the future for them when they get out? Who's gonna want to hire or associate with an ex-con who's been in prison for 10 years, who's been brutalized, who comes out of, you know, a worse human being than when they went in? I've never seen somebody come out of prison a better person than when they went in. It's insane.
Okay, well, hang on. Sorry, Angela, you wanted to say something about Morgan and Steve there. Go ahead.
Yeah, to Steve, right? Now, Steve, I just want yes or no answers here, right? There's no being around the bush. I want yes or no. Okay.
Okay.
Have you ever gone out with someone who's dealt drugs?
Yes.
You have, right. Have they ever brought their dealers to your door?
Yes.
Have they threatened your mother and your father?
No.
Have they threatened your home?
No.
Have they ever dragged you to the local bank link to pay off a fucking debt?
Nope.
Yeah. Well, I have, right? I have.
I fail to see your point.
And what I'm telling you is, if it was my brother, my sister, my mother or my father, I'd drag them out of this house and down to the Garda station because I am not having that in my home. I am not
then
going to have my life. No, one second. I'm not going to have my life in danger because my partner, my brother, my sister brings that to my home. That is their choice to do it. They don't get a fucking second chance.
So what you're saying is...
Them from your house.
Exactly. Just kick them out. So you don't have to take them to the Garda station. You don't have to report them. You can say to the drug dealer who's at your door, they no longer live here. Tough shit. Simple as that.
I did that, Steve, and they still dragged me down.
Okay, and did the person
still
live there?
My parents. And they still... He didn't live here. He'd moved out 6 months previous.
And how... Angela, how in the name of Christ did calling the guards solve that situation for you? Because it would have made it worse. They would have come back and burned your house down or killed you or killed the person in question here. It's not going to make it better.
Oh, I did tell them. I told them that it was my ex-boyfriend who was dealing from the house. I did tell them. And you know what? It made it better because they've never come near my house again. Now, that debt
And you think the guards prevented that? Do you genuinely think the debt is being paid? Do you think the guards were the ones who prevented them from coming back to your house again?
You know what Do you know what I should have done, Steve? I should have done at the start when I caught him doing the coke. I should have kicked him out then. And I should have brought him to the guards, but I didn't. But I'll tell you, I'll do it from now on.
I mean, Morgan is making a point there, Angela. And I'm sorry to hear you went through all that, by the way. Morgan is making a point there that... Why would you shop on your own child on something he believes should be legal in the first place? He doesn't see the big deal in it, by the way, to some degree. And why would you actually call the guards that your child could go to jail for 10 years? And we read earlier on there, over 12 and a half grand's worth, you could actually get up to life in prison. John Gilligan, if you remember, the famous John Gilligan, got life in jail for possession of cannabis with intent to supply. So you could go to jail for a long time, depending on the judge.
The only thing is, Niall, you're not going to get that much. You're not going to get.
But they could go to jail.
They could go to jail. Yeah. And they deserve to go to jail for bringing that into your home. They brought
but
that.
That's not
and John earlier on saying it's. And John earlier on turned around and saying, oh, it's the addicts themselves. It's not the addicts themselves. The addicts can buy it. That's fine. You're bringing it into your home.
Sorry, Morgan. You want to say something to Angela there?
Yeah, so the question is not about bringing it into somebody's home. It's about the law as it stands, that if you go before the courts, if you're found in possession of large quantities of drugs or whatever the limit is,
section,
you can go to
Section 15A, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but the likelihood is you will go to prison. It's a higher likelihood if you come from a poor working class area.
Yep.
Someone caught with 10 grand worth of... weed, who lives in a
doggy,
somebody who has, you know, or a doctor's son. There's a difference, you know. There is a different outcome based on that.
Morgan.
Sorry, I'll just finish for a second. The real solution to it is to end the prohibition, legalize it, and then if it causes problems for people,
Morgan. Base today's conversation on the law around today, right? We can base the conversation next year on the law around next year.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, as the law stands, I would be of the mind that it should be ignored, okay? And there's other risks that come with that where we still have to deal with criminals, but I can't bring in the solution to that, which I think is what we should be talking about, really, is solutions to these problems rather than, you know, arguing around in circles and nothing ever changes. The greater harm, to my mind, comes from it being, as it stands at the moment, with it being illegal. It enables criminals to continue as they are. It enables them to, you know, collect vast amounts of wealth. And they will pick on the poor gobshite and intimidate people like the lady there whose name escapes me. And they will come to your house. You have no way to protect yourself. You can't own a gun in this country. So you can't just, you know, say, listen, get away from my door or I'm going to shoot you. And you'll have to call the guards after the event to come and protect you. And then that brings a whole world of trouble with it. Because the people who do sell it and profit from it are violent criminals who are armed, and they will come and get what is theirs because they don't operate with the same moral compass that the majority of people do.
But is that not the fault of your son or daughter that is stealing from your home?
Well, only if you ascribe all responsibility to them, if you take society out of the equation, and if that's a very individual question, you would have to look at the situation the child grows up in.
But Morgan, if you're going to raise your child properly today, I'm not talking about next year, you know, when there's going to be debate and discussion about should we legalize or decriminalize or whatever it is, right? Forget about that. Today, you're raising a child in the society we currently live in. You have to tell them the difference between right and wrong. You don't drink and drive a car. You don't speed. You don't take drugs. You don't do this. You don't. Because they're the rules of life. That's just it. They're the prohibitions in this world, right? And whether you accept them or whether you don't accept them, there are people out there, Morgan, who think you should be allowed to drink and drive. Do you understand what I'm saying? So everybody has their own view on what should and shouldn't be legal. There's probably people who think murder should be okay if you don't like somebody. So the point is, you have to tell them these are the laws. You abide by these laws until such a time those laws are changed.
That's based on the premise that all laws are good.
Yes, absolutely. It is based. I know bad laws too, Morgan. There's laws out there that I don't agree with, okay? But it is based on the fact that all laws are good. But that's just the way it stands. If you don't like the laws of the country, you move to a country that doesn't have those laws. That's the way it works.
Or you can campaign to change those laws,
right?
There are so many laws in this country.
Morgan, we're going around in circles. The point is you can campaign to change the laws if you want to, or you can leave the country. You have a choice, right? So what I'm saying is, as it stands, they are the laws, right? So you must raise your children to obey those laws if they want to live in this society. If they don't want to live in this society and you want them to live in another society where they can smoke their brains out, that's fine. Move to a country where, you know, recreational drugs are legal. So the point I'm making is, Angela's made a good point. If you've raised your child properly, well, then that son or daughter has brought that to your door. That is their responsibility. It's not the drug dealer's responsibility. It's not society's responsibility. It's
and they're
theirs.
Your responsibility, Niall. The child
absolutely.
Is your responsibility.
Absolutely.
Do you not get that?
I
and
do.
Can I ask Angela a question there? Angela, yeah. Let me ask you a question. You, I'm assuming you would never bring drugs into your partner's home because you would never put them in that type of danger. You wouldn't want them getting beaten up and so on and so forth, and getting into trouble. Yeah? You would never do that because there's a danger attached to it. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
But what you would do is you would report them with an equal amount of danger attached to it. So in other words, you would report that person where they could go to prison, end up being raped, murdered, beaten every day, have their life taken away from them. When they get out of prison, they'll never get a job. You know, so you were going to put their life in danger just for your morals. I don't get it.
I'm putting their life in danger because they put my life in danger. Because they put my life in danger.
So it's a tit for tat. Is it revenge? Is it? You're the moralistic person here.
Steve, excuse me now. Now you're talking out through your hole.
No, I'm not, Angela. You are. You're the one who was saying that you would allow your partner or somebody to go to prison.
If somebody wants to deal drugs from my home, I'm reporting them to the guards. I'm doing it. I don't care, Steve, because they're putting my life in danger.
And would you not try the other way first?
That's their choice.
Angela, would you not try the other way first? Would you not talk to them and say, enough is enough, or get the hell out of the house?
She did. She told you she did. Actually, stay there, the three of you, because I need to go to Morris as well. He's waiting ages. Morris, hi.
Hi, Niall.
Sorry for keeping you, Morris.
Yeah, it's grand. I agree in relation to your position, Niall. If it was me, I would have reported them as well. Because, to be honest, you can give them a warning and say, I'll stop or whatever, but they'll keep on doing it until they get caught, more than likely. And it could be a bigger mess. And in my opinion, if you legalise it or decriminalise it like they did in Holland, you'll see there was a quote in relation to when they were discussing it on Prime Time. And they said that in the Netherlands, the rate of young people smoking it before it was decriminalised jumped up by a tenth of time under the age of 18. So, then you're talking about an increase in mental health problems, and who's going to pay for the taxpayer? So, it's all fine and well saying
that. They had the same experience in Portugal and other countries where they legalized it for domestic or recreational purposes. In Portugal, they decriminalized. They saw an increase in the amount of people that were using it.
Yeah, for instance,
that's false about Holland as well.
Sorry, Morgan?
Less children in Holland smoke weed down.
Well, I don't know about Holland. I can only tell you in countries where they decriminalised something that was already
criminal. There's normally an initial increase, and then it's no longer forbidden fruit, so it tends to lose that attraction.
Mm. I don't know. Okay, well, sorry, let Morris finish what he's saying. Sorry, go ahead, Morris.
Yeah, if you look at, for instance, when it's about drink or whatever, but look at George Best, for instance. He had plenty of money, he wasn't doing any harm, he just drank himself to death. Most people wouldn't have that type of money to supply themselves with whatever they're addicted to. So they'll have to turn to crime to supplement their addiction, especially when it comes to heroin, for instance. And that's why it's mainly illegal. In relation to tackling the drug problem, there's no way of doing it if you don't know who's coming in relation to boatloads. I could bring in a shipment of arms and topple the state if I wanted to, if I had the money, and it's quite easy. There's only one or two ships patrolling the Irish Seas, and a lot of the cartels are looking at targeting Ireland in relation to access to Europe, supplying Europe with drugs because of the fact that we don't watch our seas. And also in relation to crime, if you look at the Asian countries like Japan and Singapore, they target both the person who's possessing it, who's buying it, and the dealer. And they hand out very heavy sentences. And I'm talking about, for instance, in relation to Singapore, they give the death penalty to even someone possessing an amount over a certain limit. Now, I'm not advocating for it, but I'm just saying they don't have no nonsense and they don't have the sign.
And if you arrive at an airport in Singapore, there's signs up in the airport saying that you will be sentenced to death.
Yeah.
They don't take any messing.
There was an Australian fellow a few years ago who was caught with over a certain amount of cannabis and he was home. So, there's no mess in there, and they don't have the crime.
I understand that. Morgan doesn't, but Steve probably doesn't too, because he smokes it. But I understand that. I have no issue, by the way, with Morgan or Steve, if they're smoking a bit of a joint every now and again or whatever it is, right? But the point is, drugs does huge amount of damage to society. Huge amount of damage.
Can I come in with
No, I'm just saying to you, like alcohol, it does a huge amount of damage to society.
Any of what that lad just said, Morris said, have to do with today's topic? Any of it?
Yes, it does. He's trying to explain how bad drugs are. We're talking about a kid with 25 grand worth of drugs in his bedroom.
You think for one second that we don't understand how bad drugs are or the situation is?
Well, Morgan's advocating for decriminalising it.
Can I speak for a moment so I can
express it a little bit? The last caller there, so he's saying totalitarian societies work to prohibit everything. We know that. You know, I don't want to live in a totalitarian society. I don't want my children to grow up in a totalitarian society. I don't want to have to call the guard. I want to basically, for my children, to be able to make a rational decision around drugs. You know, is it a good idea to use drugs? No. Is there a likelihood that you're going to experiment with them because they exist in society and they're pleasurable? Let's not forget that people take drugs for a very good reason. They are quite nice. They make you feel wonderful. There's a whole industry around alcohol because, you know, it's quite enjoyable. There are dangers with it. So we should be
drugs make you feel wonderful.
Reason.
Drugs make you feel wonderful, Morgan. Do they?
That's the danger.
Hang on. Drugs make you feel wonderful. Say that to some junkie hanging out on the boardwalk.
No, not a junkie hanger. That's the other end of it. Like if you take too much, it's like, you know, if you scratch, if you screw out. Please be quiet, woman, whatever your name is. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
I know it's difficult.
Are you not a woman? Are you a man?
Please be quiet, woman.
Don't be quiet, dare.
Oh, Morgan, you're heading down a dangerous path there with Angela.
I know it's difficult being entitled as you are.
How dare you?
How dare me? How dare me? Are you not a woman?
You absolute cretin. How dare you speak to anybody like that?
A woman. How dare me speak to a woman? Oh, Lord. How dare me speak to a woman?
I said, how dare you speak to anyone like that? Are you stumped off your head now?
No, I'm not.
You absolute freak. Don't you ever speak to anyone like that again. We can't speak.
Maybe we need more laws. I think
it's just called manners, Morgan. That's, you know, kind of... Okay, get to the point. You want to make a point there. Nobody wants to live in a totalitarian society. I don't want to live in a totalitarian society, but I do want to live in a society where things that are dangerous for society are banned. Yes.
Yeah, but we have to balance the danger. That's what seems to be missing from this, is people are going, okay, well, you know, we have this awful situation with drugs where people are being brutalized by the dealers, people are being brutalized by the system, but we can't talk about any way to change that because we need to stick to the same topic. Well, then everyone else can bring in, you know, other irrelevancies.
They're not irrelevancies. What Morris said wasn't irrelevant. We're living in the now.
Society.
We're living in the now where it's illegal in this country for a reason.
The now is always gone.
Well,
there is no now. The now is gone now. All we have is the future. I want to live in a society
where drugs are legal.
Not where they're just legal. I want a society where they are legal, where people aren't brutalized and criminalized for the
use. Okay, and what about heroin and class A drugs? Should they be legal too, Morgan?
They should be legal, yeah.
Yeah, heroin.
By extension, that doesn't mean that I promote them or advocate for them. I would never in my right mind say to anyone, any of my children, listen, it's a good idea to smoke, it's a good idea to drink alcohol, it's a good idea to take weed, it's a good idea to take heroin, cocaine, or any other drug for that matter, or an experimental vaccine while we're at it. Because not all drugs are illegal and not all legal drugs are good.
Sorry, Angela, you wanted to say something to... Well, hang on, Morgan. Angela, you wanted to say something to him there, the lovely, mannerly man.
It's a lovely, mannerly man, so he thinks...
How dare you call me a man? I identify as a woman.
I won't tell you what I actually wanted to call you, but I'm more polite than that. But the thing is, so you want to make all drugs, legal so that your, you know, 16, 17-year-olds can go down the road and get coked off their head, shoot up on heroin.
They can do it now. They wish it's illegal. It's not. They can do it now.
Are you really as stupid as you're saying?
You're projecting
legally,
because you can't see your own contradiction. You can't see your own contradiction.
Morgan, I said legally. You want to make them legal so that they can go down the road. So get
I don't want. You're missing the point. I don't want to make them legal so they have easy access to it. I want to make it legal so they're not brutalized and basically destroyed and have their actual life in danger because they've been introduced to people. They say, you know, weed is a gateway drug.
It's not dangerous.
It is.
You think it's not dangerous to make heroin and cocaine legal so that your kids
can
go and do whatever?
Heroin and cocaine are dangerous. Irrespective of if they're legal or illegal,
so
they are dangerous. I am saying
so
the less, all of it, life is dangerous. All of it's dangerous, okay? Everything is dangerous. It's inherent to human existence.
You smoke weed, don't
danger.
You?
I smoke
you
it occasionally.
Smoke
I smoke weed. I don't drink.
Oh,
do you drink
Jesus
alcohol?
Christ,
you drink
I
alcohol.
Drink occasionally.
Do you,
but you know
do you
what?
Drink? Yes.
If you smoke weed, right? Have you ever driven the car after smoking weed?
No, I've driven the motorbike after smoking weed.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There we go. End of conversation.
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there, Morgan and Angela. Let me go to Bernie. Bring some level of sanity into this conversation. Stay there for a second. Bernie, hi. How are you?
Jesus Christ. I'm fine tonight. How are you?
Good. I don't believe what I'm hearing today. Anyway, 25,000, back to the original conversation, 25,000 euros worth of weed in his bedroom. He's 19. Would you ring the police?
Unfortunately, yes. I admire that woman for doing it.
Okay.
Because it's only while taking that horrible action had somebody else's child may have been saved by her doing that. It was a very hard thing and a very brave thing for her to do.
Mm-hmm.
I admire her for doing that because she had no other choice. She was trying to save her 19-year-old and try and get him back on the right path. He'd used her house to store the drugs. He didn't think about her and her family or her his brothers and sisters, and that was wrong.
Yeah.
So morally, she did her right thing, even though it must have been the hardest thing she did. She did carry that man for nine months. And nobody wants their child to do that. But he was going to expose somebody else's child to drugs, maybe. And, you know, maybe she stopped that in his tracks. And that's the only way she could do it.
Would you have done it if it was your child, knowing in your head that he could get jail time?
If it's going to stop him and change his course down the wrong path, I probably would have to. My husband and I would have no choice.
Sorry, Morgan, what are you trying to say to him?
If there was no other help available,
but it doesn't.
No other help
sending
available,
people
no
to prison, sending people to prison doesn't alter their lives in a positive way. It just doesn't. That's why it's nonsense to carry on. And this, how do I know? Because I grew up in a fucking dump in a working class area. Half the people I went to school with went to prison. Most of them for stupid, you know, either petty theft or minor drug dealing. And every one of them, their lives went downhill afterwards. They come out addicted to fucking heroin after going into prison. They come out completely
but
different prison because they have
Morgan
to now. They have to.
Well, hang on, just let Bernie respond to that. Hang on one more time. Sorry, Bernie, there is an argument that, you know, going to jail can make people worse. And you know, there is an argument there that it's not the best environment for anybody, particularly a 19-year-old.
What other choices, Niall, have the government put in place at the moment? Can they put in something else that will help guide these people off this path of destruction? And you know, I've seen fathers whose children were on drugs and the drug dealer, they hid their children as best they could. And the parent took the beating and got the broken ribs and the brain injury because they'd rather to save their child, they took the beating. And there's nothing in place. You know, there is nothing. We have to find some way of dealing with this. Drugs are wrong. I know, my heart. Drugs are wrong. All drugs are wrong that are illegally taken.
Yeah. Well, whether illegally or taken, or even prescription drugs can be very bad for you as well. By the way, it depends on what you're taking. But here's the thing. I'm kind of caught in the middle on this on everyone today, Bernie. I'm listening to Morgan and to some of the arguments. Some of the points he makes are good points, right? I'm listening to Steve, I'm listening to Angela, yeah. I'm listening to everybody. And I read the story about this woman in Cork who, and if it wasn't for the judge being very logically minded, the young fella could have ended up in jail for a long time. The judge deferred sentencing for a year to decide what he was going to do while he waited to see if the child would change their life. The child did, when I say child, 19-year-old, and went into rehabilitation and basically turned his life around, is now in college, blah, 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 doing well. Okay, so the judge said, because you did that, I won't put you in jail. I'll give you a 3-year suspended sentence. But they could have gave him a 10-year mandatory sentence. So you won't always get a judge like that. The next judge could be in bad humour because some arsehole was before him 5 minutes before that and decides to put him in jail for 5 years. And that's your son in jail for 5 years with hardened criminals. So I understand the point Morgan is making, where there could be another way of dealing with it. I don't know the other way of dealing with it.
Okay, sure.
I do.
Honestly, you know, making drugs legal is not the way to do it.
No, personally, I don't believe that.
You know,
why though? Why?
I don't think. Because the outcome has always been negative. I've never seen a positive outcome from someone taking drugs.
What about alcohol? What about the example of alcohol? Alcohol was illegal.
But Morgan, if I had my way, alcohol would be illegal. I don't drink. I don't think drink is
exactly.
a very...
Well, you can't... Well, you can't
no, but I know I wouldn't ban it. I'm not suggesting I would, by the way, because some people enjoy their alcohol and they drink socially. Look, the point I'm making is alcohol is not good for you either. It doesn't do any good for society. More people die directly and indirectly every year from alcohol than cigarette smoke, by the way, can I just point out? And, you know, when we talk about things like domestic violence, altercations on the street under the Public Order Act, most of that is fueled by alcohol. So alcohol is not good for society either.
But the thing is, Niall, if we continue with that line of reasoning, we end up in a totalitarian society.
Because everything
can be viewed as harmful, and then we must protect everybody from everything.
No, and I agree, and I understand, and I agree what you're saying. So for that reason, even if I was the lawmaker of the country, I wouldn't ban alcohol. And there are a lot of things. I wouldn't ban fast cars. You know, I'm not going to ban fast cars.
The current system of basically the way we deal with drugs in this society, illegal drugs in this society, is a disaster. It hasn't improved. It won't improve.
Because of harm reduction, Morgan. You know, you can be an alcoholic. The majority of people in this country who drink are not going to die, you know, from destroyed livers, right? The majority won't, okay? Yeah. It won't cause them huge health problems. Some people it will, they're alcoholics, right? But unfortunately, if you're taking heroin, the majority of people who take heroin, it's a bad ending, right?
So but the majority of people don't take heroin because people look around them. The majority of people who take heroin come from poor areas. Because that's it. There's no better option for them. Like, oh, this drug is wonderful. It makes me forget about how shit my actual life is. You know, there's no mass amount of people running down the street trying to get on heroin. It's because of their social circumstances. And the compassionate thing to do there would be to, okay, well, you know what? This is a pretty shit situation for these people. Not only does it affect them, but it affects society at large.
Okay. Well, I'm running out of time rapidly. Barely stay there for a second. I want to just go to Sarah just before I finish. Sarah, hi. How are you doing?
How's it going, Niall?
Good.
Interesting topic.
It is.
Today.
Yeah, what would you do?
Well, I wouldn't be bringing them to the police station.
Right, okay.
For starters, I'd be taking the drugs off them.
Yep.
I'd be asking them where did you get it and how we got it and the possibility of the drug going back to where he got it from. That's what I'd be doing.
Fair play to you. Most dealers don't take the drugs back. It's not sale or return. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, if it's not sale and return, it's going to have to be sale and return. And then if it's not that, you're just going to have to find a way to pay.
Mm-hmm. For the weed.
That's the way it goes.
And how is that going to teach him a lesson?
You're not going to teach him a lesson if he's still actively, mentally involved in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you need to teach him a lesson.
Yeah, but at that age, you're probably not going to be taught a lesson from it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Get your bags and get out, and that's it. You know, don't be bringing trouble to my door. Don't be doing it under my roof. If you want to go and kill yourself, go and kill yourself somewhere else.
But this young fella in Cork...
You're giving them the opportunity
Whether we agree with going to the guards or not, this mother in Cork did, and it did change this child's life. He's now 22.
Yeah,
he's not doing it anymore.
Yeah. I'm sort of a bit puzzled about that because, you don't just go into a courtroom, right? I know, right, fair enough, you do go up and you'll have a talk with the judge, my son, do better, I promise, this, that and the other. But it's not just left at that, So where did you get the 25? Where did you get the drugs? Sure he didn't find them in a lucky bag. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe that information was passed to the guards. I don't know. I know nothing more about the case than what it says in the paper.
Yeah, well, see, nobody gets off. Like, there's no such thing as a free meal in this country, especially when it comes to drugs.
No, I know. There's a drug dealer. You know, there's a drug dealer in Cork, 25,000 down on the deal. He's not happy.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to, no matter what the other guy thinks, he's going to come looking for that. Unless then the family paid him off. That's the only thing that I can come to there.
Are the guards had a word with the dealers? If they know them, I don't know. See, Bernie, that is the risk, you know, that you take. You know, you're dealing with dealers. Sorry, Bernie, go ahead.
Yeah, but the guards know themselves, like, they're not stupid.
Yes. Like, okay, well, hang on. Sorry, Sarah. Sorry, Bernie, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just feel that the mother, I know it was an awful thing for her to have to do, but she had no other choice. He brought drugs into her home. The guards will find the drug dealers. If he's going to avoid jail and change his life, he's going to have to give up the names of the people who supplied him with the drugs. And the guards is then at their door to go after the person who dealt the drugs in the first place. But by her taking that awful thing, I know it was horrendous as a mother to do that. However, she did try maybe save, she was trying to think about the people he would have supplied the drugs to. And she saved these people, maybe somebody's other child's life. You know, maybe by her doing
and move around, because like drug dealers just don't let you get away with it. Like, and if he was in protective custody from these drug dealers, that means he had to change his life one way or another. So he's being watched both ways.
Yeah, but
I'm speaking from experience. Like, I was a brat when I was that age. And when I was 17, I was going to prison. And when I was 17, like, thinking, having a large, long think about what my life was going to be, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get out, I'm going to go back to school. I tried to do all those things. The school wouldn't take me back because of the past. Not only that, while I was in prison, the access to drugs was, it was so easy to accessible. The first thing I did when I got out of prison, I went into a pub. I start using other people's needles. I don't know how that I haven't got HIV or any other illness or diseases. And then I continued that life like for 10 years. I went through hell. I've seen people getting killed over drugs. I've seen people getting killed over 170 pounds. 500 pounds.
What got you out of that life? That would be interesting to hear. What got you out of that life?
Yeah. What got me out of that life is that I was just, right, my mother used to always say to me, don't tell me, show me. I used to always say day in and day out. I tried treatment centres and it never worked. And it just came to me, I had nothing and a black bag and tracksuit bottoms and a top. And I turned around and I said to myself, sure, what have I got to lose? And to be quite honest, in this country at the time, it was either you give up drink or drug. I was addicted to both. So there was no actually help in this country for me at that time. I had to pick either one or the other. So I refused. I said, I'm either doing a drink and drugs or nothing at all. So they took the chance with me. And that's over 20 odd years ago. But I had nothing to live for. I didn't care whether I live or died in the process of my treatment. That's what I'm trying to say. But even I deep down inside wanted to change when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. When I did really want to change, I didn't want to hurt the family. I kept away from my family. And people that know me out there know that. I've lost an awful lot. But I have gained an awful lot by rebuilding and getting the proper health psychologically. And today, I don't do anything. If it's that, I help people. And I have a job, and like the company, like I work for the HSE, and they have gave me chances to build my life back up again. It is possible that you can build your life up again.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not just marked down as a dirty, low, scumbag, junkie, whatever.
Yeah. Once prison you help you in any way?
I was just about to ask Sarah the same question. Did prison make a difference, Sarah? When you went to jail, did it kind of make you think, I'm never going to do this again?
In my mind, I was terrified. In my mind, because you're in that atmosphere,
you sort of want to have the image of being like them. But I wasn't sentenced, so the difference between sentence and being in custody is totally different, because when you're in custody, you've really nothing to do, where when you're sentenced, you have jobs to do. So okay. I was basically going around, floating around, more time to do nothing.
And how long were you there? How long were you in jail for? How long did you go to jail
for? I was only there for a week.
Okay. Where was that? In the Docus, was it?
It was Mountjoy at the time.
Oh, okay.
And then when I got brought up to the courtroom, Niall, this is what I'm trying to say, right? I hadn't got a clue. I was so naive. When I went back into the courtroom, right, the judge gave me 2 years. Right, and I hadn't got a clue. I was down in the Bridewell, and a solicitor, Michael Staines, came down and said, would you like a second call? And I hadn't got a clue with that, what he meant by that. And I said, yeah, right, whatever, like, I'll never forget it. And then when I went up to the courtroom, there was just the judge, barristers, and there was my mother. And the minute I seen her, I start getting emotional. And then she was sort of giving sort of a background of my history of my behaviour, basically.
So the second call was essentially an appeal. Yes, an appeal against your 2 years.
I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at the time. But the judge made it clear, and there was a certain amount of money that my mother had to pay. And then every once a week, I had to sign on for 2 years. And I had to be, like, keep out of trouble and have a clear record.
So they suspended the sentence.
I wasn't caught. Within those 2 years, I'd done 1,001 things. I was in the most horrible company in this country that people would be talking about on TV today.
Do you look back at your... Where was the, how long are you clean now? Remind me again.
Oh, God, Niall, I don't... A day at a time,
But it's a long time. It's 10, 20 years or whatever it is. Yeah.
It's over 20 years.
But do you look, I'm just curious now, do you look back at yourself, that life that you have, that's as if that's a different person?
I definitely do, but what I'd love to do is when I do see young people out there, even before I do look at them and I say to myself, they're going to end up going, and you know the way people say, how can you judge a person like that? And I do just love to get them and just shake it into their heads that you don't have to act like this. You don't have to go down that road. You know, and you're talking about people today. It's an awful lot harder for people today. And the different types of drugs in Ireland today and the different things that are within the drugs that the children are taking today, they're more vital of death. It's not like back in the early 70s and, you know.
I know. And some of the stuff that's in drugs nowadays is absolutely lethal. Well, listen, unfortunately, I've run out of time. But Sarah, thank you for sharing that with us. And I really appreciate your honesty.
Can I just say she's been incredible? I'm so amazed to hear her story. And I think she'd be such a wonderful advocate for all the people out there who she could help. I think she's amazing and so brave.
She
thank
is.
You, Sarah, for letting us know that. And I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, we're all very proud of you, Sarah. We're all very proud of you. Even Morgan. sorry, Morgan.
There's hope for everybody.
You're right, Morgan. There is. There's hope for us all. Okay, listen, Bernie, thank you very much indeed. Morgan, thank you. And Sarah, thank you very much indeed. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. And it was interesting to hear that at the very end. Drugs, look, we can have the debate, and we've had the debates, but we will have the debate, I'm pretty sure, in the next year, a very serious debate in this country about the decriminalisation of drugs. I'll nail my colours to the mast clearly and tell you I don't agree with it. I think it's a bad thing to do. I think it's the wrong thing to do. And I don't believe it's the right thing to do. I raised my children, who are all in their 20s now, but I raised them always to think that drugs are bad, drugs are bad, drugs are bad. If we decriminalise drugs and we go along with the liberal notion of decriminalizing drugs, well, then what we're doing is giving it a green light because it's not illegal anymore. And you can't turn around to your kids and say, well, that's illegal. So you're giving it a green light. There is no doubt in my mind that if we decriminalize drugs for personal use, that the uptake will certainly be seen very quickly. Just like we did with abortion, by the way, when people said, oh, if you legalize abortion, more and more people are not going to have abortions or get it done. Turned out the numbers doubled. Now, that doesn't matter whether you agree with abortion or disagree with abortion. I'm just making the point. So when you legalize drugs, and we've seen evidence from other countries around the world where they've legalized it for recreational purposes or decriminalized Class A drugs, there has been an increase in the use of drugs. There is no doubt about that. I don't want to live in a society where heroin is legal, cocaine is legal, ecstasy is legal. I need those drugs. I don't want to live in a country where those kind of drugs are legal. I could maybe get involved in the debate around cannabis. I personally don't agree that it should be legalized. I think it's dangerous. It can cause paranoia. It has caused death, by the way. And for those who argue it's not a gateway drug, I don't believe you. I believe it is a gateway drug to other drugs. That doesn't mean that everybody who smokes cannabis is going to go off and take cocaine and heroin. But I do believe there is, if we look at the research, it shows that those who have taken cannabis can go off and take heroin and cocaine because they don't get satisfied by the cannabis anymore. It's entirely up to you whether you believe it should or shouldn't be legalized in Ireland. But I, for one, will fight tooth and nail because I work in the media. I have that platform. And I will make sure we have 101 debates where we fight tooth and nail to stop that from happening in this society. Anyway, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. Don't forget, by the way, as usual, please support the show. We had some great opinions, some entertaining opinions as well today. And we want to hear all of your opinions because, indeed, everybody should have a voice. Everybody. And that's the whole idea of this platform every single day, is to provide you with a voice. But it costs money. The three of us work on it. We don't get paid. As I said already, we all have our own jobs. Outside of this, because we obviously couldn't sustain it otherwise, we have to pay for it. Thank you to those who have subscribed already. We obviously need more. That just about pays for the electricity. But we do need more. We need to upgrade our equipment. Our equipment costs money. It breaks every now and again. We need to replace it. We need better equipment. We need all of those things. We want to make it better. We really want to make this better for you. We have a plan in mind that we can make this so much better and longer every single day. But to do that, we need your help and we need your support. Remember, you can listen to the show and watch the show free of charge. So if you can't afford to help us, we understand completely and we appreciate it. We'll never charge you for listening to it or watching it on Twitter or Facebook every single day live. You can then download the audio version from Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, or indeed our own website free of charge. We'll never charge you for that either. The one thing we will ask you to pay for is if you want to watch any of the videos of the show during the day or the interviews that we do on Zoom with people as well, which are some of those don't stream out live every day, they're all on the website. They're exclusive to people who subscribe. So if you go to the website and go to the video section, you have to subscribe to watch those videos. It's the cost of a cup of coffee once a month. Do you think I'm worth a cup of coffee once a month for doing this for you and giving you this opportunity every day, uncensored? Am I worth that? Are we worth that? We are. I believe we are, because I've always been learned to value myself. The price of a cup of coffee or a pint of beer, just go to the website, nileboylan.com. It's $5.99 a month, or it's a little bit cheaper if you pay by the year if you want. And that helps to support us to continue to do this. So please do it now, if you can. I'd really appreciate it. And as a way of thanking you, we will give away a mug. There's the mugs. The Smug mugs. I don't have one here, actually, but that's a picture of them. And we give them away. See? Sarah Jane, who was just on there a minute ago, she got one. That's Angela. She got one. That's Maureen. She got one. And the way that works is, when you subscribe, we pick one random subscriber every day, new subscriber, every single day. And we send you a mug, a Smug mug, a Niall Boylan podcast Smug mug. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. Thank you to everybody who subscribes. And please, if you can't afford to subscribe, all we ask is that you share the show with a friend. Tell a friend about the show. Go to our website, share a link. Go to our Facebook page or our Twitter and share it with a friend. One more person listening every single day from each one of you increases our downloads and the possibilities of us making this affordable. So please help us to do that. Thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 12. You never know what we're going to be talking about. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.